Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, April 14th, 2015. And with me today, I have the very interesting team of John Martellaro. How are you, John?
Hi, good morning. Nice to be here.
And you sound good. What microphone are you on again this week?
I'm using the IK Multimedia iRig Mic HD.
All right. And listeners, let us know what you think of John's microphone. And when we run through all the different models he has, then we'll pick which one that he's going to be stuck with. And Brian Chaffin, how are you, Brian?
I'm splendid.
Excellent. I wouldn't have it any other way. Also splendid, lynda.com is our sponsor this week. That's
very
absolutely splendid. We'll talk about them soon. But first, I thought we could dive into this announcement that IBM made today, that they have a new platform that they have developed called Watson Health Cloud. And if you aren't caught up on the news yet, this is a massive server system that works worldwide to collect, store, maintain, process, and analyze health and fitness data in a secure system. And so it's using the same Watson technology that they used on Jeopardy. And they are also teaming up with Apple. So the Watson Health Cloud ties in with HealthKit and ResearchKit. So as end users, we can be collecting all of this health and fitness data about ourselves, feeding it back into the system that doctors and researchers, also insurance companies, can use. And I have a feeling that this has the potential to be a very big thing. And with HealthKit and ResearchKit support as part of this, that tells me that Apple and IBM want to really have a strong hold over the fitness and medical data markets.
So you know, there's an aspect of it that's interesting to me, and that is when I was working for Apple in 2000 to 2005, Apple was nibbling around the edges of supercomputers. And Apple was attending the annual supercomputer conference that rotates among cities. Apple had the PowerPC processor, which was the little brother of some processors that IBM was using in larger supercomputers. And then Apple decided they were going to do iPhone instead of supercomputers because it's a much bigger return on investment. Companies like Cray and SGI back then were still struggling and never really got really, really wealthy. And so I've always kind of been needling Apple in my articles from time to time about how IBM has turned Watson into a good return on investment by virtue of Watson's ability to run on very large supercomputers. And so it's kind of full circle where Apple's back with IBM, taking advantage of IBM's expertise in supercomputers, which spawned Watson. And
I gotta quibble.
I think I'm very pleased with that.
I gotta quibble. I don't think that Apple's taking advantage of anything. I think that Apple is merely making it possible to feed data into Watson. Apple is the IBM is the facilitator here, not or the doer here, and Apple is the facilitator.
That's
no, it's
okay.
Totally okay. It's this okay. Is great. This is a fantastic development. What they're doing with Watson Health Cloud is it's probably going to change medicine, or at the very least be the root of something that changes medicine. It is a very, very big deal because it's essentially taking these enormous amounts of health data and disease data and recuperation data, all of these massive amounts of data relating to health, and sifting through it all to look for patterns, to look for meaning, to look for things that we haven't known before. And it's a fantabulous project. But this isn't something Apple's leading. Apple is merely is merely making it possible to get more data into that, which is a good thing.
Oh, yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
Glad to see Apple coming back to the utilization of something in this fashion, a supercomputer in Watson, to see Apple engaged in it. And along the way, in this engagement, Apple will come to understand more about the value of supercomputers.
Well, I think this shows that Apple is looking to be more than a company in the health and fitness arena that can tell you how many steps you took today, or how many calories you burned, or how much you weigh. They want to have a serious place in the high end medical market, and we have HealthKit, we have ResearchKit. And now we have all of this tying into Watson to process all that data. Yeah, Apple, I think they're pretty serious about wanting to be a part of that game. And I agree, Brian, it's great. And I love to see that Apple is taking a very serious role in this. All right, and we lost John along the way, but that's okay. Maybe he'll come back. Maybe he won't. That's us making some sausage right here, right now. Anyhow, we have a sponsor today.
And always good.
Always good. That sponsor is lynda.com, and I'm really glad that they're sponsoring us because they're doing so much to empower people through education, and I think that's absolutely fantastic. So what you need to do, dear listeners, is go to lynda.com, that's lynda.com/TDO, and you can get yourself 10 free days of training from them. All the training courses that they have are available to you, and all you need to do is sit down at your computer, your iPhone, or your iPad, and just start learning. They have over 3,000 titles that you can choose from. They're adding more all the time, and they have an incredibly wide range of topics. I've mentioned before how I've been enjoying going through some of the Photoshop training that they have so that I can improve my Photoshop skills. And if you're interested in becoming a developer for iPhone, iPad, or the Mac, well, they have classes on Swift, which is the new programming language that Apple has developed. And just amazing number of titles. So go ahead, head on over to lynda.com and sign up for your 10 free days, lynda.com/TDO, and start learning new things. Let me know what it is that you're learning, because I'm curious to see what it is that you're doing to make yourself even better.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you, Lynda, for being our sponsor, and that's lynda.com/TDO, and go start learning. So next.
John's back.
Oh. I'm back.
John's back. We missed you while you were gone.
My internet just went off the air for a few seconds. Don't know why.
Well, what you missed is that Brian and I are incredibly brilliant, and we're about to start talking about a new topic. And that is – okay. So, Brian, you wrote a really good piece yesterday about how it's possible – even with the success of the Apple Watch, if it's successful, to still consider it doomed. What's up with that?
Well, it's not really possible. It's only, I mean, all right.
A
so here's
great
the deal.
Piece. It was, Brian. I loved it.
Thank you. I was in full on rant mode. I was very, very angry. So Roger Kay, a long time Apple Watcher. Going back to certainly my earliest days covering Apple at the Mac Observer when we got started in the late 90s, he has just turned into a big Apple curmudgeon, and you know nothing Apple's going to do is a success, and he's one of the people that I sort of lump into the Church of Apple Doom, the faith based approach to believing that Apple will fail or is a failure in some way, despite all evidence to the contrary. And his current piece actually started off last Friday when he had taken some sort of informal poll with some Silicon Valley executives who were gathered together in a room, so you know it's really scientific and very comprehensive, and asked which of them were going to buy an Apple Watch, and none of them raised their hand. And that was pretty much all the proof he needed that the Apple Watch was going to be.
I love his scientific technique.
There you go.
Yeah. So, you know, case closed. And so he was taken to task by some of his readers, as he usually is, because he's often very critical of Apple, to put his own numbers out there saying, well, you know, what do you think Apple's going to do? And so that was his challenge, but he demurred. He instead of actually putting some real numbers out there, he looked at a March gathering of other analysts, what their estimates were. And those estimates range from 8 million with Gene Munster, who is usually normally a massive Apple bull, and this is 8 million Apple Watches in the first year, to Trip, Chowdhury. You know, if Apple doesn't release something in the next 30 days, they'll be irrelevant. His estimate at the high end of 41 million watches. Robert Paulito, who used to write for us, is the second highest at 40 million. And then it's 30 million. I mean, it's like – so way, way at the high end is 41 million units in the first year, which I actually think is overly optimistic. And then at the bottom end is 8 million. And the average is 22.5 million roughly. And Mr. K proceeded to say, well, you know, I'm going to take the high end and call it 50 million, which of course is actually – more like 22% over the high end, but you know, that's just math. And
silly math.
And if Apple sells 50 million, well, then I'll wear a t-shirt saying that I love Tim Cook and he was wrong and I was right. Which is, I mean, it's such a ham-fisted way of moving the bar to what I called fantasy land. So that no matter what Apple actually does in a year, he's still going to be able to say that the Apple Watch was a failure because it didn't meet this ridiculous bar that he's at. And he's claiming to base his bar on what other people have put out there, but that's a lie. It's a blatant lie. You don't take estimates where you have 41 million units on the high end, call it 50 million just for fun and have that be – it's ridiculous. And it's also that he can just constantly claim that the Apple Watch is a failure, just like he said.
So what's up with that? I mean, just
– well, it's, you know, what else do you do? What else do you do when you're an Apple hater, when you were just convinced that everything Apple is doing is wrong? What else are you going to do besides, you know, manipulate your numbers and say other delusional things to support what evidence denies?
Yeah, I guess if you don't have reality on your side, you just substitute your own.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. All right. So he's set himself up. So next year he can declare Apple Watch a failure, regardless of how many Apple sells, because realistically, I don't see them selling 50 million units in a year.
Yeah, I don't even know if they can make 50 million units a year. I mean, look at how – I don't know. I guess maybe they could, but listen, so how many – we had 700,000 Android units, Android smartwatches sold to date, right? So that would be over the last year and a half or so?
Sure. And Apple topped that in 24 hours.
24 hours just in the U.S. Without looking at the other seven markets.
Mm-hmm.
And those are, you know, that's not an official number from Apple, but it's probably pretty reasonable. And I mean, it makes it the fastest Apple product launch in history. It took the iPhone 74 days to sell a million units. And it took the iPad 28 days to sell a million units. Apple did that in just the U.S., in 24 hours.
Right. Yeah. Total new product line. That's right.
I mean, this product is going to be incredible. And if Apple sells 5 million of these things in the first year, it would be a success. But as I put it in the piece, by any yardstick other than Apple, right? But if you compare it to Android, it would be a huge success. If Apple were to sell 10 million, it would be a category game changer. At 20 million, Apple has done the undoable. So, I mean, you know, let's have reasonable expectations here when we're looking at how Apple is going to do with this product.
It just tells me that Mr. K doesn't really have a methodology. He didn't really do any math or do any assessment, look at statistics, look at numbers, look at the size of the iPhone audience. And those numbers also suggest, because they're wildly different, that there isn't much methodology there either. I mean, when you can go from 8 million up to 41 million, it tells me that there's no really good methodology that was used. There should be better clustering if the methodology is decent and sensible.
I think there's some kind of cluster in here.
Yeah,
it's actually not the kind you're referring to.
Well, I mean, the range from 8 to 41 million is
right. So, but
wild.
You have one at 8, and then you've got two at 40 and one at 30, and the other dozen cluster between 15 and 26.
Yeah, so we should throw out the highs and the lows.
Right, and you'd actually still have pretty close to
the 22.5. Yeah.
The 22.5, yeah, if you were to throw out the highs and lows.
Yeah, and but keep in mind, we're talking about a market where to date, not even a million
How many Pebbles? Do we know how many Pebbles have been sold? Because Pebble might have actually outsold Android. I don't know that.
I don't know either. I know there's certainly a lot of interest in the Pebble Time. They had a crazy number of backers for that.
Right.
But that doesn't equate to how many units have they sold.
Right. It does not. So I have my own bet out there. He called, by the way, Mr. K called this, right? This is Roger K, called this a wager. So, you know, this is his wager. If Apple does this, he's going to wear that t-shirt. I have a bet with Rocco Pendola, who I believe is back at the street these days. And it was about 9 months ago when I bet him that Apple would – I said that Apple would sell 40 million Apple Watches in the first 12 months of availability. And it's funny you mentioned methodology, John, because I didn't really have any methodology other than the fact that I was actually thinking about iPhone sales. And I was thinking as a fan of watches. And, you know, watch fans are actually a very small subset of the total population.
Right.
And you know – wrist-top computing is a new thing. I mean, I fully expect to lose that bet. I would not make that bet today. I, you know, 20 million is a stretch goal for me for Apple. That's like, wow, this thing really has done well. But it's, I don't know. Yeah, maybe these guys. I don't think you can have any methodology here because it's a new product. Everyone who's thinking about this is pulling numbers out of thin air. One way or another.
That's true, because no one knows yet. There is no track record for this device.
Yeah, you know, and so we had a million units sold this first day. It's true. These are all the people who have been, you know, like really stoked about it. Maybe it was 2 million over the weekend. Who knows?
Well, what's interesting about that, Brian, is that there's 365 days in a year and Apple's open on Sundays. The Apple retail stores and the online stores are all open for business all the time. Yeah, so a million a day would be 365 million a year, right?
Yeah, that's not
going to happen. But normally when Apple comes out with a product, it's constrained and the sales early are are low and then it starts to climb. But this one's going to be maybe a little different. Maybe it's going to be kind of a U-shaped where it's going to fall off as the early adopters grab it and then ramp up again slowly as Apple meets demand and Apple's marketing kicks into place and everybody has one and everybody knows what its utility is and it gets more and more popular. So that could be an interesting curve.
I think there's an even bigger factor here because surely Apple's going to sell a lot of these during Christmas. But the bigger issue is that we still don't know how people are going to actually react to it once they have it on their wrist. people are going to need to make this thing a daily part of their lives before sales really take off. And if that doesn't happen, sales won't take off. And if it does happen, if people just instantaneously find this thing to be a game changer for themselves, something that they've just got to have with them all the time, then we'll see that trajectory that we've seen before. And we won't know that until these things ship.
That's true. And the earliest anyone is going to get one is April 24th. And most of us are getting them sometime after that.
Right.
Yeah. So we're going to have a phase in during that part as well. Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing exactly how Apple Watch does. I mean, this is a whole new market for Apple, and it has the potential to be really big or be another cube. We'll see. Hey, we're out of time. So, Brian, thank you so much for being here today.
My pleasure, man. Thanks for having us.
It's always great to have you. John, thank you for being here.
And, yeah, most of the time. Sorry about that internet breakage.
Oh, drat the technology.
Yeah. Yes.
And I'm sorry about the clown intrusion that you're going to have to edit out. But, I probably shouldn't say anything.
No, we'll just leave it as a surprise for John. Yeah. Lynda.com, thank you for being our sponsor this week. Head on over to their website, lynda.com/TDO. Get yourself 10 free days of all the training you can manage to pack in your head, and then let me know how much smarter you are. And listeners, thank you for being with us again today. We'll see everyone tomorrow.